Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us.
Good. That's good singing this morning. I can hear you singing out, and I appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. And book of Matthew in chapter number 11 as we finish up this chapter. When you found out there, we're going to start reading in verse number 25 and read down to verse number 30, the end of this chapter. In Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25 and reading down here to the end of the chapter, Matthew says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I've been looking forward to preaching these verses for the past couple of weeks as we've been building ourselves up to this section. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and I remind myself of these verses often, and I would encourage you to spend some time there as well, not just here this morning, but personally, spending some time in these verses and understanding them and just enjoying what Jesus is revealing to us. And we have about half an hour or so this morning, and I won't be able to do justice to all of these verses in the time we have this morning. But I do want to spend some time considering this invitation of Jesus and looking at this passage that really describes to us, that really reveals to us the heart of the Savior, the heart of Jesus towards us, towards sinners, towards you and I this morning. Just spend some time considering Jesus's heart for us. Now, those of you that know me know that I like baseball. And I especially like baseball this time of year because it gives me something to look forward to when my Leafs get out of the playoffs very quickly. And so I'm not too sad because there's something else going on and I don't have to be too disappointed. But baseball is a big deal in our house. We all like it. We enjoy playing it. We enjoy watching it. And we enjoy the Blue Jays. And one of the things, I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the things that the Blue Jays do every year is the top brass of the organization sits down with the ticket holders and the shareholders. I have a picture of what they do. And there's Shapiro and Beeston and Atkins and all those kind of top-level guys of the organization. And they'll sit down on the field, kind of like that. You can see it there facing the fans, and in those seats are season ticket holders and shareholders and people that are part of the organization. And they do this every year in the off season and really just sit down and share their heart for the team. And this is where we want the team to be. This is what we want the team to do. And this is where we see the organization heading. And this is what we would like to implement. And this is my heart for the team. This is what I would like to see this team going forward. And every year they sit down and they have this large meeting and really just share their heart and their desire for the team. In our passage this morning, it's kind of like Jesus is sitting down. And he's saying to us, I just want to share my heart with you this morning. I want to share my desire for you. I want to share what it is that I feel towards you, what my heart is. Who is Jesus really? what is his heart toward us? Towards sinners, towards sufferers. What flows out of him most naturally? How does Jesus feel about you? How does Jesus feel about me? It's a question maybe we can ask ourselves this morning. You know, it's interesting, out of the four Gospels, it's 167 pages in my Bible. Those four Gospels, 167 pages, 89 chapters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the only place that Jesus really reveals to us his heart. And I would say this morning, when Jesus reveals to us something about himself, we should listen. We would do well to understand what it is that Jesus is saying and what his heart is toward us. Now, in the Gospels and in the book of Matthew so far, we've learned a lot about Jesus. We have learned about the teachings of Jesus. We spent a fair bit of time in the Sermon on the Mount understanding what Jesus had to say about a number of different issues and principles and practices. We've read about his healings. We've read about his birth and his family and his ministry and his disciples. We know a lot about him. We have heard his reasoned and logical arguments. I think we've been astonished and we've been amazed along with the multitudes at the power and the authority of this man as he taught of Jesus. We've seen him build an incredible amount of teaching and understanding and of Old Testament principles and passages. And we'll look at in weeks to come the opposition, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and literally thousands and thousands of sermons have been written about all those things, about Jesus, about his miracles, about all of these different things. But only here in these verses does Jesus open up his heart to us. And in some of the greatest words ever uttered, we can see down to the core of who he is. What his heart is. There is a rare plant over in Indonesia called the corpse flower. I don't know if you've ever heard of the corpse flower before, but it's rare. It's one of the most rare plants in the world because this flower only blooms about every 10 years. And even that, after 10 years, it only blooms for about 2 or 3 days. And so people kind of gather from all over to see this flower, and it blooms for a couple days every 8 or 9, 10 years or so. And so it's quite a rare thing. And they call it a corpse flower because of the smell it emits. It actually smells like a rotting corpse. And that smell is meant to attract beetles and flies and all sorts of things. So it opens up, and once every 10 years, that flower really reveals what it is deep down inside. It's the smell of rotting flesh. It's not good. But just for a couple of days, you can really see what this plant is. Well, here in this rare moment, Jesus opens up his heart to us. And we can see deep down inside who Jesus is. And by the way, it's not death. When Jesus reveals himself to us, it is life. And we see really who Jesus is in this passage. And so my desire is that we would just, over these next few minutes, just sit and understand what Jesus' heart is toward you. And Jesus reveals in this passage a couple of different things, two different things mainly. Excuse me. Jesus reveals two things that we're going to look at. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus reveals the Father. In verse 25, Jesus says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, remember that Jesus had just finished speaking to the multitudes about what? About the criticism, about the indifference, about the rejection that they passed on him. He's speaking to the multitudes. He's speaking to the religious crowd. Now keep that in mind, because that's going to follow us into this passage here this morning. But Jesus was speaking to those things, to the indifference of them. He said, listen, we came, and whether it was John the Baptist coming in the spirit of mourning, you criticized him and you rejected him, or whether it was me coming in a spirit of rejoicing and joy, you criticized me and you rejected me. It didn't matter what way we came, whether it was mourning or rejoicing, whether it was John the Baptist or me, you rejected us. You rejected the message. And then he turned and publicly pronounced woes on these three cities, on Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, who saw the mighty acts of God and did not repent. Not only were they critical, they rejected. They did not believe the works and the person of Jesus. But after all of that, the crowds are still there. They're still listening. And Jesus begins to speak to his Father. And he says, Lord, I thank you that you have hid these things from the wise and you revealed them unto babes, unto infants. First of all, we have to understand, what are those things that Jesus has either hidden or revealed? He's hidden from the wise and he's revealed them to babes. What is that? Well, I think it's the truth of what Jesus had just said. It's the knowledge of who Jesus was, of his authority, of his identity. Jesus himself was the one that was either being revealed or being hidden. The truth of who he was, his message. Notice that Jesus in his work and his identity in verse number 25 is being revealed unto babes. That word babes is the Greek word napios and can refer to a number of different things. It can refer to either a infant, a nursing baby, or it can reveal speak to an older child who is coming into age, or it can be referring to those that are simple in their understanding. This babes, I think, is speaking of those in verse number 15 that Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is not speaking of actual infants that God has revealed these things to. This word is used this way a couple of times in the New Testament, but it's speaking to those that come to Christ with childlike faith. Those that come to him with a simple faith as a child. Babes is not speaking of age or ability, but it's speaking, I believe, of a humble spiritual attitude. The attitude of those that come to Christ. They come as babes. Now, we've had four babies in our home at one time. It seems like a very long time ago. Some of you still have babes at home, and you know what that's like very well. We had four of them, and to be honest, as much as I enjoyed that stage, I'm thankful that we're beyond that stage. Now, every stage is fun, but it gets better and better as they get older. And I'm thankful that we're beyond that stage because babies can't really do anything for themselves. Babies are a lot of work. Babies are totally dependent on somebody else, right? They're totally dependent for their survival. They're dependent for their sustenance. They're dependent for everything. They can't do anything by themselves except lay there and cry and make a mess. That's what babies do. They're totally dependent on another. Totally helpless. God has revealed his truth, his kingdom, his gospel to those that acknowledge their helplessness in and of themselves. Those who admit their need, those that are, as Jesus said back in the Sermon on the Mount, those that are poor in spirit, those that are humble and dependent on God, totally dependent on Him, that those are the babes that God has revealed His truth to. And then there's the wise and the prudent. And if babes describe those that understand and acknowledge their complete dependence on Christ, then the wise and the prudent would have to be the opposite of that, right? These are those who are wise in their own eyes, who rejoice in and rely on their own wisdom and their own understanding in opposition to God. Those who in their own eyes are too mature and too high and mighty to be able to stoop to childlike faith and humility. It's interesting here that it's kind of backwards. Those that think they know the truth don't. And those that come to Christ totally dependent will know it. It'll be revealed to them. Jesus is turning things upside down again. The religious leaders of the day thought they knew the truth. They were confident in their own eyes and their own wisdom and their own resources and their own achievements. They thought God would accept them because of who they were and what they did. And Jesus says, no, God has not revealed His truth to you. God has revealed His truth to those who know their need and understand their need. Then verse 26 and 27 are really a commentary on verse number 25. This is the truth that is being revealed, that some would get and some would not. And some would receive and some would reject. And the truth is simply this, that Jesus reveals to us His Father. The Father knows the Son. That word know is epigenosko, from gnosko, which means to know. But it's not just to know. The idea of that word gnosko, it means to know intimately, to know by experience. Jesus knows the Father. The Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son. They have that intimate experiential knowledge of each other. Jesus knows the Father knows the Son, and listen, the Son reveals the knowledge of the Father to those that come to Him. Jesus reveals to us who God is. Here's what He's saying, and we've been looking at this on Sunday nights in our gospel evidences class that we've been doing. Listen, we can't know God based on human reasoning alone. We can know about Him. We can know some things about Him. We can know about Him through creation. We can know about Him through science. Those things point to Him. We can know about Him through our conscience. That points us towards Him. There's all sorts of things in our life that point us to God, that we can know about God. But we can't know God intimately through experience unless He has been revealed unto us. And here's the good news. Jesus has revealed the Father to us. We can know the Father. We can know God. We can be brought into relationship with Him. We can know Him personally because of Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He reveals the Father. It's why He said to Philip just a few verses later in John 14, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus reveals to us who the Father is. And we're about to see His heart in just a minute, but the truth is this. As Jesus reveals the Father to us, we understand this, that God's heart is for you. It if Jesus reveals the Father by who he is and what he does, if Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, if Jesus loved people regardless of who they were and where they had been and what they had done, if Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, if Jesus had compassion on the lost, if Jesus was merciful and gracious, if Jesus loved his own to the very end, if that's who Jesus is, then that's who God is. And Jesus is saying, I know the Father, I have a relationship with the Father, and I'm offering it to those that come to me in simple childlike faith. I'm revealing it to those people who aren't self-righteous. The truth is not revealed to those who don't think they need it. The truth is revealed to those who understand their need of it, who are desperate and poor and needy. What a wonderful invitation from Jesus that he offers us this morning to know the Father and come in a personal, intimate relationship with him, to know him experientially. Jesus offers that, but there's a second part to this, and it gets even better. Jesus reveals to us his heart. He says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus peels back the curtains here for just a minute of who he is, and he reveals his heart to us. The core of who Jesus is, and I want you to understand that Jesus doesn't say, I am strict and demanding in heart. Jesus doesn't say, I am exalted and dignified in heart. He doesn't say, I am joyful and generous in heart, though those things are true. Jesus reveals himself to us, and in verse 29, he says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. He says, this is what is true of me. This is what my heart is toward you. I am meek and I am lowly. So the question this morning is simply this: what does that mean? That Jesus is meek and lowly. What does that mean for you and I? Well, we don't use the word meek very often in this day and age. The word here that's translated as meek is used in three other places in the New Testament. We already looked at one of them in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth. That's the first time it's used. And then here, and then in Matthew 21, there's that prophecy that Jesus would come meek and riding on a donkey. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, speaking of the woman who has a meek and quiet spirit. And that word meek, as you see it up there already, has the idea of being gentle, being humble. Jesus is saying this, I am gentle. I am humble. Jesus is not harsh or exasperated. Jesus is not reactionary and easily angered. Jesus is gentle and mild. You know, Jesus is the most understanding person in the universe. Jesus is accessible. He is like, we read the account this morning as we started our time together, that Jesus is like the father of that prodigal son who, as his son comes to his senses and returns home, and he has this whole thing concocted in his mind. He said, this is what I'm going to say when I go home. And he's kind of practicing it. I mean, he said, I'm going to say, Father, and he goes on and he lists it. And he gets to his father and he doesn't even get the whole thing out. And his father has his arms wrapped around him, welcoming him home. That father who stood not in a posture of anger or reactionary or a posture that was punitive, but he stands with arms wide open, ready to receive and ready to forgive and to welcome home. Listen, the posture most natural to who Jesus is not a pointed finger, but it's open arms. He's gentle. Jesus says about himself, I am gentle. I'm tender. I'm welcoming. I'm accommodating. I'm understanding. I'm willing. That's what my heart is toward you. Jesus is gentle. He's meek, but he's also lowly. And this word lowly, the definition kind of overlaps the definition of meek, of gentle. But it's being humble, not necessarily as a virtue, but more as a necessity after being cast down because of a station in life, because of circumstances, being cast down, being in a low position socially. Just a quiet, meek, gentle, humble spirit. Do you ever watch Mr. Rogers when you were younger? The kids here probably have no idea who I'm talking about when I say Mr. Rogers, but most of the adults here know who Mr. Rogers is, and I remember watching him when I was younger, and I don't know what it was. I think they made a movie about him recently, actually, because of who the kind of person he was. I didn't realize this, but did you know he actually graduated from seminary and was a Presbyterian pastor? I just found that out as I was looking into that. But there was something about Mr. Rogers that he was just so accessible, right? He was just so gentle, just calm and soft-spoken, if you ever watched him, full of childlike wonder and imagination. And you would watch that. I remember watching that as a kid and looking into his eyes, and I felt like he was talking to me. There was just that gentleness about him. Now, that's what I think of when I think of this word. Jesus is gentle and lowly. He cares. He is approachable. He doesn't distance himself from humanity, but he makes himself available to all people in all places, no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, no matter what you have done, no matter what ethnicity there was no hoops to jump through. Jesus was available. Gentle and lowly. What was Jesus like? What was Jesus' heart towards you? Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, said it this way. I like how he said it. He said, if Jesus hosted his own personal website, the most prominent line of the About Me dropdown would read, gentle and lowly in heart. Loving, accessible, welcoming, understanding. By the way, that's not who he is to everybody. We'll look at that in just a moment. But to those that come to him, this is who Jesus is. Now, let me ask you this morning. Just think about this with me for a second. Is that a kind of God that our minds can comprehend? Is that a God that we would have dreamed up in our human reasoning? I suggest to you this morning that it's not. Because the truth is this, the richer that someone is, the more put off they are by someone who is poor. Isn't that true? Right? The in many ways, maybe there's some acts of kindness there. That may not be true in every situation, but that is often the case. We might assume that someone so high and mighty and so exalted would be put off by coming near those who are so despicable and dirty and sinners. That yes, God came to us, but he might come to us holding his nose. That he doesn't get too close. That's maybe how we might imagine it. It's like we were fishing the other day, and I was kind of doing that, and our kids are learning how to do that. And I realized that none of the kids enjoy putting any worms on the line. They kind of recoil at touching the worm because it's gross and it's dirty and it's, you know, it's just, They don't like to touch it. So I spend my time putting worms on the line. And even, I think I have a picture here. Even when they catch a fish, it took a lot for Seth to actually hold that thing in his hands. It was like, I don't want to touch it. It's kind of gross. It's dirty. It's kind of off-putting that we think, you know, I don't really want to touch that. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus reached out and he associated with sinners. We sang this morning four different songs that said that Jesus is a friend. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. Those are the kind of people that Jesus associated with. Jesus came to those that needed him the most. And he did so joyfully because he was gentle and lowly of heart. I don't know about you, but that blows me away. I'm overwhelmed by that. You might ask this morning, well, what's the catch? Why would Jesus do that? There's got to be some fine print somewhere, right? And the truth is, this morning, there's no catch. There is a condition. Jesus is not this way to all people indiscriminately, right? Because last week we just looked at the woes. The woe to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum and those that are indifferent and critical. But there is an invitation here. Jesus gives us three words that if heeded, we will find this is who Jesus is. This is what you will find him to be. There's three words. I want to look at them just quickly in the last few minutes we have. The first word, I love this word. Jesus says, come. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Jesus says, if you want the rest that I have to offer, if you want this truth revealed to you, you want to know the Father, you need to come. The prodigal son was offered rest and forgiveness and restoration and fellowship, but first he had to get up out of the pigsty and come. His father was waiting with open arms, yes, but he had to go. Jesus is waiting with open arms. He is gentle and lowly, but he says, come unto me with childlike faith. By the way, I find it interesting. The religious leader said, do. Do this, do that. Jesus simply said, come. All you that are weary and heavy laden, all you that labor. Labor for what? Heavy laden for what? I would suggest that they were laboring and they were heavy laden with the burdens of the law. The word labor there means to grow tired. To grow weary, to give maximum effort, but it's not enough, and to lose heart, and you're emotionally fatigued, and you're discouraged, and you give up because it's too hard. That's the idea of labor. And then heavy laden has the idea of being overloaded, of being weighted down with a heavy burden. These were the burdens that religion had placed on the people. Do this. Keep this law. Follow this tradition. Follow these ceremonies. And the religious leaders added to that and added to that burden after burden after burden to the people were totally burdened down, heavy laden. They added those burdens until they became the proverbial straw on the camel's back. It was too much. They were weary. They couldn't do it anymore. They were trying to please God by doing enough, and there was not enough that they could do. Jesus says, stop doing and just come. Friends, I think there's great freedom this morning. There's great rest when we just come to Jesus. I think sometimes we're so much like Martha. We're just so busy working that we forget to just come and rest at the feet of Jesus. Can I say this way? We can become so busy with church programs and church activities and church traditions that we forget to just come and rest at the feet of Jesus. Your righteousness, your works, they don't earn your salvation. We understand that. But the truth is this, they don't earn you any favor with God after salvation. Just rest. Come. Jesus says, come. But then he says this, take. Take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is that instrument that would put two animals together, two oxen together, and you would yoke those two, or go on top of them and in between them to keep them together so that you could plow a field or do some work. And it's interesting here. Jesus said, if you come, you'll find rest, but then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, typically, the picture of a yoke was not a picture of rest, right? The picture of yoke was a picture of work. It's a picture of labor. You say, wait a minute, didn't Jesus just say he's going to give rest? And now he's saying, pick up the yoke and go to work. But Jesus says this, my yoke, it's not burdensome. It's not heavy. In fact, I think the key to this is found in the word in verse 30 that says, for my yoke is what? It is easy. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. It's not heavy. By the way, we're all going to be yoked to something. We're going to labor for something, but Jesus says, my yoke is an easy yoke. It's not heavy. Jesus is not saying that life is going to be free of hardship or trouble or pain. That's not the idea of the word easy here. The idea of this word easy is that which is pleasant. That which is good. In fact, the same word is translated in Ephesians 4, verse 33. Be ye kind one to another. The word for easy here is the word kind in that verse. Jesus' yoke is kind. It is pleasant. It is easy. Jesus says, my yoke is not heavy. It's not like those that religion and the religious leaders place upon you. My yoke is pleasant. My yoke is kind. My yoke is good. It's like if you saw a man struggling in the water to stay afloat, and you see that, and he's struggling there, and you throw him a lifesaver, and you hear him yell out, are you crazy? I'm struggling enough to stay afloat without the added weight of that lifesaver. Take it back. Say, no, that's foolish. That lifesaver is not a burden on him. It's a blessing. It's kind. It's good. And Jesus is saying, my yoke is good. It is kind. It's like no yoke at all. Here's the thing. We can either carry a burden, a yoke that is good and fulfilling and rewarding, and one that is easy to bear and one that is within our capacity, or we can bear one that is much heavier and much more burdensome, and we can weary ourselves out and be laden down trying to wear it. Jesus says, you come to me and you take my yoke and you will find it to be good. It is exactly what you need. It's pleasant. He says, come. He says, take. And then thirdly and finally, he says, learn. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn. Be a disciple. Gain knowledge from me. Take all of these things that I have just said, not just what I've said, but my heart toward you. Take all of these things and learn of me. Know me. What happens when we do that? Jesus says, as you come to him, as you take his yoke, as you learn of him, what happens? He says this, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Life is hard, right? Sometimes we get wearied. Sometimes we get burdened down. Jesus says, you come to me and you'll find rest, soul rest. Coming to Jesus doesn't shield us from afflictions, but it transforms those afflictions from fear dominating and anxiety producing and hopeless afflictions. It changes them from that into light and momentary afflictions. Hoping in the God of hope makes all the difference. So Jesus says, come to me. I'll help you bear that burden. I'll give you rest for your souls. But you have to come and find that rest in me. Let me just say two very quick things in closing. And this is what I was burdened with as I was working through this passage in my own life. Two quick things. First of all, I think it's a sad commentary that so many times while Jesus's posture is that of open arms, sometimes we as Christians can have that posture of pointed fingers. Jesus's heart is gentle and lowly. It's for sinners, but ours is not always that way. Sometimes we can be like the Pharisees, adding burden after burden, causing people to be weary and heavy laden, trying to keep up with the do's and don'ts of our Christianity. And we ought to be discerning, yes. But we ought to love people the way that Jesus did and welcome them and realize it's his job to save them. It's his job to work in them and mature them and transform them and sanctify them. He'll do all of those things. He'll make them like himself if they'll come to him. We just need to love them the way that Jesus did. That we would be gentle and lowly. And then secondly and finally, choosing Jesus, let me encourage you this way. Choosing Jesus is not a burden, it's a blessing. It's not always easy, you know that. But his yoke is always good. It's pleasant. It's light. Yes, you may have to give some things up to follow Jesus, but what you gain is always so much more than you give up. So come, take his yoke upon you. Learn of him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of his word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.